Good morning. Today's Davin Gittin is Vav. We're starting in Hammond Bays, and first order of business this morning is the Shlech delivering the get. So since the beginning of the Masechta, we've been dealing with one topic. It's a very long sugya. We have effectively finished the sugya, but the Gemara is going to have some endpoints to make, and that's going to be today's daf. The sugya we've been covering is the delivery of a get. Gets being delivered from Medina Sayam, anywhere outside Eretz Yisrael, into Eretz Yisrael. So there is a requirement in which the shliach who's delivering the get has to say the words b'fanenechtam. It's a takana derabanan, a rabbinic institution that the shliach, when delivering, has to say that the get was written in front of me and it was signed in front of me. Since the beginning of the Masechta now, for five consecutive days, we dealt with one singular question, and that's going to be, why? Why does he have to say b'fanenechtam? Fanenechtam is maklokis amarayim. Rabba versus Rava. Rabba's of the position that the reason why you have to say it is because you have to make sure that the get was written lishma. In other words, outside of Eretz Yisrael, they're not learned, they don't know, and there's no education outside of Eretz Yisrael, and so they don't know that the get has to be written lishma. They might not necessarily know that. And so therefore, when the shliach is delivering the get, assurances he's providing that the get was written lishma. That's Rabba. Rava, on the other hand, says that the reason why he says b'fanenechtam is for kiyum hashtar. Every time you have a document, the signatures have to be notarized, and the notarization of the signatures is what it's a concept that comes up in the world of Torah, outside the world of Torah as well, but we're in the world of Torah right now, and in the world of Torah, every time you're providing a document, the signatures have to be notarized. There are various ways of how to notarize it. The Gemara in Ksuv, a second parak, discusses it in detail. But right now, for our purposes, all we need to know is that when the shlech is delivering, according to Rava, and he says, b'fanenechtam, what he's doing is kiyum hashtar. Normally, for kiyum hashtar, you need two witnesses. One witness is insufficient. Yeah, that's true. That's normal. But this is not normal. In other words, this is a special takana derabanan that allows for the shlech to be serving as the notary and kiyum hashtar. Good. So those are the two proposals of the Amoraim. We've also learned... We learned a couple of things along the way. Well, understandably, by the way, we've been doing this now since the beginning of the Masechta. We learned that really the truth of the matter is that Rabba really subscribes to Rava. Meaning Rabba really is holding a twofold concern. Shitas Rabba is that both he's worried about Lishma, the institution is to provide, support that the get was written Lishma, and, right, an important conjunction, and also it's, for the purposes of Kiyum Hashtar. On the other hand, Rava only holds that it's for Kiyum Hashtar, and Rava simply does not hold of lishma whatsoever. Meaning, he holds of lishma. In other words, without the get written lishma, the get's not a good get. But the purpose of the shliach saying b'fanenechtav is only for the purpose of kiyum hashtar and not to go ahead and validate that the get was written lishma. Good. So that's what we learned along the way. Also yesterday, in yesterday's daf, we learned together, there was a educational movement in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, over the course of today, we're going to talk more about that specifically in Bavel. But in other words, Acher Shelimdu. There was a historical tkufa, a historical period of time, where even in Medina Sayam, they knew about Lishma. And it became less of a concern. And still, there was still a takana derabanan that they kept intact. Right? Shema tachzer asadav lekulkulo. Because even though they, at one point historically, they did learn about this halacha of Lishma, but how do you know that it's going to perpetuate? And so therefore, they kept the takana in place. That's also what we learned yesterday. Okay. That was a very quick summary of the entire first sugya of the Masechta. Then, what we talked about is the shliach, when delivering the get to the woman, so in addition to saying b'fanenechtam, has to do so in front of an audience. An audience of, so this is a machlokas. It's either going to be two or three. We thought yesterday we had pshat in the machlokas. Why two? Why three? The Gemara says whatever we thought was wrong. Okay, let's just leave it like that. You want to know more about what we thought and why we're wrong? Go back to yesterday's daf. So Ella de Kuliyama. So we're now picking up where we left off yesterday. We are in Hamad Base. We are 2/3 of the way down. Truth of the matter is not even. A little bit more than halfway down. So Ella de Kuliyama. So the Gemara says these two positions, Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, they both hold. So really, the truth of the matter is that they're worried about kiyum hashtar, right? The purposes of b'fanenechtam is kiyum hashtar. Now, remember, when you notarize, what do? You have to do it in front of Beis Din. Beis Din is made up of three. So what's going on over here? How could it possibly be that now you're acting as a Mekayim Ashtar and you're notarizing the signatures and you're doing so in front of a Beis Din? How can anyone say two? Gemara is about to explain. So mandam bifnei shneim kasav shishlech nase eid ve'ein nase dayim. So the one that says two, it goes like this. Because we have a principle that a shliach can also serve as a witness. Okay? In fact, by the way, that's our entire first sugya. Can a witness then also take on a new role of being a judge? And it's machlokas. And so the position that says that you only need to give it in front of an audience of two, well, how do you do that? In other words, you're going to take on two roles. You, the deliverer of the get, are going to be a shlech. You're serving also as an aid, because you're testifying that you were there for the signatures, and you're notarizing the signatures. And then, this part's amazing, then after giving the testimony, you're now going to go on the bench and be a member of the court. And you're going to be serving as the third member of the court. So you're testifying, and you're also going to be the judge as well. Now, can you do both? As we're learning right now, it's machlokas. But at least within one opinion, you can. And according to that opinion, you can. So now you understand. When I'm delivering the get, I need to do it in front of an audience of two. Really, I need three. Yeah, I'm going to end up being the third. I'll testify, and I'll be the judge as well. That's one position. However, ain aid nasa dayan. A shlich can be an aid. In other words, that kind of identity crossing would be totally acceptable. You could be a shlich and you could be an aid. That's fine. But what you can't do is you can't be an aid and a dayan. Now, the truth of the matter is that if you think about it, which I'm trying to do, if you think about it, this position is a lot easier to hear. The role of a witness and the role of a judge are, obviously, they're mutually exclusive of one another. The witness is providing testimony. The dayan is hearing the testimony, judging based on the testimony given. The idea that you could be an aid and a dayan both in a singular case, that's amazing. How does that work exactly? Okay, so again, this is Daf Yomi. We're going to go on. I'm just, just providing thought, morsels of thought in terms of trying to understand how could you be both an aid and a dayan. So if you can be both, so now you only have to deliver in front of two because you're going to end up serving as a third. If, on the other hand, you cannot take on both identities of aid and dayan, so then you need three people to give it in front of because you're serving as a notary and it has to be done in front of a beis din, and you can be an aid, but you can't be a dayan. And the Gemara says now, if we're talking about where the case is under review is a d'oraisa issue, so then we have a machlokas. However, if the case under review is only a d'rabanan, so then everyone would agree that you could be serving both as an aid and a dayan. So the Gemara says, Allah ma'akamithlagi. So the Gemara says like this. And by the way, we're assuming right now that this case under review is a d'rabanan, not d'oraisa. What? We're talking about a married woman becoming not married? That's a d'rabanan case? Of course not. What we mean, what the Gemara means by that is that this takana where you need to say b'fanenechtam, that's a din derabbanan. Obviously, right, the fact that we are by virtue of him giving over the get, she's going to now be no longer an eishes ish. That of course is daraisa, but the requirement of saying the formula of b'fanenechtam, that's a din derabbanan. And by derabbanan cases, everyone says that the rules are more relaxed and an aid can serve as a dayan. So Allah hachab amai kemifugi. So here now, the Gemara is going to give now a third attempted explanation of what's going on over here. So Marsa v'kevin d'ishak shir Allah havi yisaget, zimnin d'maisalei isasav v'samchi Allah, v'idach ishamei d'yad v'lo samchi Allah. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what the machlokis is. If the man was delivering the get, so then, look, this requirement of b'fanenechtem is a d'rabbanan. He could be an aid and it could be a dayan. Everyone agrees, that's fine. The issue is as follows. As we have already learned, and we get to see it again today's daf, and that is that, a woman could be the courier of the get. Okay. Oddly enough, the wife could be the courier of a get, but we don't have to. That we already discussed this yesterday. That was really weird. But a woman could be a courier of a get. Oh. So if the woman now is a courier of a get, so now what? So now the idea that she's already an aide, right, that halachically, that's really strange. But in no way, shape, or form is she going to be able to be serving as a dayan. Meaning that's unquestionably off the table. So therefore, what the Chachamim are taking into consideration is the following. Is that, look, obviously, when we're talking about Kiyam Ashtar, you have to do it in front of a basin. The basin needs to be made up of three. We've also now concluded that if the shliach is a man who could be serving as on the court, so then he can go ahead and be both the aide and he can be the dayan. Ah. But what happens if it's a woman coming? Now, obviously, she's going to be saying the formula, b'fana nechtam, b'fana nechtam, but no way can she then also ascend and serve as a member of the Beis Din. So considering that, so now, should we say as a blanket rule, you know, always do it in front of three because of those cases in which the courier ends up being a woman. So one position is keep it three. In other words, even though under most of the time, most of the cases, the courier is going to be a man, and the man could do it in front of two, and he'll supplement and he'll be the third. That's true. But because sometimes the courier is going to be a woman, so let's keep it that you're always going to have to give it in front of three. And the other position is, no, don't worry. Meaning if the courier is a man, so then he'll just simply be an aide and he'll be the dayan. If the courier is a woman, the basin's going to know. Basin's going to know, oh, we need a third? Oh, let her sit on the bench. No, of course not. They'll know, they'll understand that she can't. Okay, so the Gemara says that in fact is a machlokus between the two positions. Tanya Kavasa de Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara now is going to quote a brisa supporting the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan said that when you're delivering the get, it has to be done in front of an audience of two. And now the Gemara is going to quote a brisa exactly supporting that position. So you bring a get from Medina Sayyam and you give it to her and you do not say the formula, so the get is perfectly invalid, according to Rav Meir. She is still an Eishes Ish. She marries another man. They're not married. She's still married to her first husband. The children are going to be Mamzer, Divir Rav Meir, V'chachamim Omrim, Ein Avla Mamzer. So, and the Chachamim said the child is not a Mamzer, Keti Yaseh. So now, is there a way to rectify? So sure, there's a way to rectify. So, meaning, is there a way to rectify according to Rav Meir? So, Yitlenu Haymenu, V'yachzu V'yinen Allah B'fnei Shnayim, V'yomer B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. So, what you're going to do is that you're going to take the get back, give it back to the Shliach. The Shliach now is going to re-deliver the get, but of course, this time saying the words B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. Now, V'rabim Meir, Mishum D'lo Amar, B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam, Yosef Avlad Mamzer. Now, the Gemara says incredulously, and I heard David under his breath also basically react the same way, meaning that what happened now? You didn't say the words b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. And now because of that, the child is going to be a mamzer. That is what the Gemara is saying is, that's wild. So the Gemara says yeah, I know that's wild, but that's Rabbi Meir. So the Rabbi Meir, l'tamid, amar Rav Hamnun, mishmeidu ula amar, omar haya Rabbi Meir, kol ha-mashanim imad be'eshet havu chachamim begin yotzei v'avlan mamzer. Rav Meir says that any deviation whatsoever, the Chachamim were Toveya. They told you, this is the formula. You need to say this. Now, why you need to say this? Okay, go. So just review the last five blot of Gemara that we've done. Right? From Daf Beis to where we are right now. Review. So you'll know why. Rav Meir says, great. You want to understand it better? That's fantastic. But if you don't say the formula that the Chachamim instituted, you deliver the get and you fail to say, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. The fact of the matter is, the Chachamim told you, this is the formula. This is what you have to do in order for the get to be a valid get. You don't say it, the get's not simply not a good get. Kol hamishana mimad beishet avu chachamim begitin, any deviation whatsoever, yotzi v'avlad mamzer. So that means to say now that she is not married to her next husband. In other words, she's already a married woman, and the children that she has from that second husband, I'm using the word husband over here lightly, obviously, the children that she has from that man is in fact going to be a mamzer. That's the sheet of Rav Meir. So in other words, yes, it's a shocking shita, but again, it conforms to what he generally holds. Okay, good. Pretty much that takes us to the end of yesterday's daf. Okay, that was a catch up. That was a means of catch up. We are now picking it up. We are on the bottom of Hamad Bey's Bar Heja by Lasui Gita. So what Bar Heja wanted to do was deliver a get. So he happened to have been in Chutz Lars. Then the delivery of the get was to Eretz Yisrael. And also, so he went to Rav Achi, who was appointed over Gittin. In other words, they had a specialist. Rashi over here reminds us that when it comes to Gittin, Gittin is a very serious issue. If you don't know the halachas of Gittin inside, out, backwards, forwards, don't do it. Don't get involved in it. In other words, you really need a specialist when it comes to Gittin. And so they had a specialist, right? In our community, we have a specialist, okay? So anyways, the Adavim Amun Agite. So Amalei Tzarech HaTal Amunah Kol Os V'Os. And so he said that when you're the Shliach, so you have to be present for the writing of the get. Okay, right, Alan, who's not here this morning, he's on his way to Israel. So he said, right, he was wondering, when you say B'fana Nechtav, it means you were there? So that's what we're going to be discussing now for the next 10 minutes here in our Gemara. You need to be there. The shliach needs to be there for the writing of every letter. So we're going to see now together, subject to a debate. So according to the specialist, Rabbi Achi, so he said, you need to be there for the writing of every letter. So Amalei Tzarech HaTal Amunah Kol Os V'Os. So I'm sorry. That wasn't a question. That was a statement. So Rabbi Achi said to Bar Heja, you need to be there. L'chol Os V'Os. You have to be there for the writing of every letter. Okay. So when you say the words, B'fanei Nechtav, it was written in front of me. So what you meant was is that the whole thing was written in front of me. So also coming to Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi Amrilei lo trichas. So now Bar Achi shares his viewpoint. Sorry, Rabbi Achi shares his viewpoint with other Amoraim, notably Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, and they said, you know, the shliach doesn't have to be there for the writing of every letter. That's not necessary. So lo trichas. Now kit v'chitema avi l'chomra. Now, okay, fine. So how about this? How about we'll just be machmir? The Gemara says, do not be machmir. Nimsa ata mosi laz al gitim harishonim. You're machmir, and what you're going to end up doing is that you're going to be challenging, calling into question all gitim that were written historically. Okay? In other words, when you and I were to take on any chumrah by a get, oh, that's so good, we're being machmir, right? No, it's not good. Because all the generations previously, and all the gitim previously, who didn't subscribe to this chumrah, so what are you saying about that get? It's not a good get? Okay. So the Gemara over here gives us a very strong cautionary tale, and that is that don't take on chumrah by getting. Okay, now, by the way, okay, this is a huge topic. I am not discussing it now, but I will bring it up, and that is that we've taken on chumras and getting, historically. Just off the top of my head, I'm just going to be quoting one chumrah, which has pretty much been adopted universally, and that is that when you are delivering a get, it has to be done in front of Beis Din. There is not a single reference of any gemara whatsoever that the get has to be given in front of Beis Din. Now, I know that we just went through a gemara together that talked about when the shliach delivers the get and says, b'fanei nechtam, so it has to be done in front of a Beis Din. That's true, but that's because he's notarizing the signatures. But the actual get itself, when delivered, does not have to be done in front of Beis Din. Or, let me say it better. There's no Gemara out there that says that it has to be done in front of Beis Din. We're going to see time and again that it has to be done in front of Edim, but not that it has to be done in front of Beis Din. And what Gittin have been, and for hundreds of years now, get has been done with Edim and the Beis Din as well. I'm just giving an example where we've adopted this Chumrah. So the Gemara told us don't adopt any chumras, and I'm just giving you one example of a chumra that we've adopted. Okay, so how does that work? Well, the Gemara tells us by getting don't take on chumras, and historically we have taken on chumras. Okay, I'll stop it right there. I'm going to move on because this is Daf Yomi, but in other words, just there's a lot to discuss on this topic. Okay. Rabbi Barchana Isa Gita Paga Ichtav Kamei Paga Lo Ichtav Kamei. Rabbi Barchana was a deliverer. He was a courier of the get. Half of it was written in front of him. Half of it was not. Also coming to Rabbi Elazar Amarle Afilo Kasabo Alashita Achas Ushma Shuvin Etzarach. You only need to see one row of the get being written, and that's fine. In other words, you don't have to, as a shliach, you don't have to see the entire get being written. One sheet of one row would be fine. How many rows does the get have? The answer is 12. How do I know that? Unfortunately, because I've been asked numerous times. But by the way, it's my neighbor who's the specialist over here of getting in our community. So I've been asked a number of times to serve as an aide or as a dying on the get. But it's not only because of that, but because of Tosfos, the beginning of the Masechta. it says that the word get begamatria is 12, and we have a Masorah that the get has to be 12, has to be 12 lines. Anyway, you only need to see one of those 12 lines being written, and that would be sufficient. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Kan Kumasa V'Kan Megilta. Okay. We're in the very top of Avam and Aleph, and you, the Shliach, what do you need to see? You're going to be delivering the get. You're going to be saying the words Befanin Echtem, Befanin Echtem. What do you need to see? So according to, I want to give proper attribution, Rav Ashi, so what you need to see is only Kan Kumasa V'Kan Megilta. Okay, what does that mean? So it's not perfectly clear what that means. Rashi over here struggles. Rashi writes two pshatim in terms of what that means. I'm going to go over Rashi's second pshat. Rashi's first pshat is difficult, but I'm going to go over Rashi's second pshat. It seems to be that's what he prefers anyway. And that is that you don't need to see the writing of the get. You just simply need to hear the clacking of the pen on paper. Now, I'm saying the word pen. I'm sure you and I know that it's not a pen. It's a kolmos, it's a quill, but still. In other words, when the pen hits the paper and you hear that clacking, so that's all you need to do in order to say Befanin Echtav. You could be in a different room, but as long as you hear the sofer writing it, that's sufficient. Okay, that's a chiddush. That's the way Rashi understands it. So Tanya Kavosei de Rav Ashi, maybe get me Medinas Yama Filu Hu Bebais Vasofer Baliyah Hu Baliyah Vasofer Bebais Afilu Nichnas Viyotzi Kol Yam Kulo Kasher. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa says, look. The shlich is downstairs, the sofer is upstairs, or vice versa. That's fine. Or Yosef and Nechnas. In and out. Now, in a moment, we're going to explain that a lot better. So, the Gemara says, Huba bais v'sofer ba'ali, alo kachazi la'el alav, ke'gilin d'shama, kan komos ha'vagam megilta. Okay, so, the sofer was upstairs, you were downstairs. And meanwhile, what you could do is that you could deliver the get, and you could successfully say, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Now, how? You didn't see it. So the Gemara says, yeah, but plug in what we learned just moments earlier. Meaning what we just learned moments earlier is that when saying the words Befanei Nechtav, you don't have to be present in the same room for the writing of the get. You don't have to actually see the sofer writing the get. As long as you're proximate enough where you hear it, sufficient. So he was upstairs and you're downstairs and it's really quiet in the house. I can't see what that looks like, but it was really quiet in the house. And then all of a sudden you hear the pen hitting the paper, you're good. You now, the shlich, can honestly say, Befanei Nechtav. That's sufficient. That would be serving as proof enough. Amar mar, afilo nechnas v'yotze kolayim kulo kasher. Now, in the second part of the Braisa, it said, yotze v'nechnas, going in and out. The Gemara says, that part I don't get. So, man, who's going in and out? Ilem shliach hashta, hu bevais v'sofer ba'aliyah, delo chazile, amar kasher nechnas v'yotze yotze mibaye. Now, the shliach we just learned together moments earlier in today's daf, you don't even have to be in the same room. As long as you're in a room adjacent, hearing the writing, that's sufficient. Yosef and Nechnas, if you're coming in and out the shliach and you're watching, you're actually watching him writing bits and pieces of the get, that for sure should be okay. I wouldn't need the Bryson to teach me that's okay. So Ella Sofer, the second part of the Brisa is no longer talking about the Shliach. Second part of the Brisa is now talking about the Sofer. And that is the Sofer was Yotzev and Echdas. Sofer's writing the get. And you know what? He needs a breather. He goes outside. He takes a breath of fresh air. He goes back in. So under those circumstances, the get's still going to be a kasher get. And now hopefully you're wondering, as the Gemara is about to wonder, okay. In other words, what would be wrong with that? In other words, he takes a break. He goes outside. He comes back in again. What's the problem? Pshita, mishum de nechnas v'yotze nifzalino. So lo tzricha de nafak l'shuka v'asa. Amau de teyem nishach rinash kechei v'amar lei kamash malan. So the Gemara says, Ahavamina. This is just Ahavamina. I might have thought that while he's taking a breather and he's outside, so another man passes him by and says, look, do me a favor, could you write me a get? And he says, what's your name? He tells him his name, tells him his wife's name. He says, oh, you know what? I'm in the middle of writing a get. Happens to be the same names. You know what? I'll finish that get for you, and then what's it called? And then for the guy I'm working on right now, I'll write him another get. So as a havamina, you might have thought that should be a concern. So Kamashalan, the Gemara says that's not a concern. Okay, good. Itmar. Okay, that really we could pause over here. I could breathe for just a moment right now in the daf. So we now talked about. in today's daf, when the shliach delivers the get. So we're talking about the point of destination. When the shliach delivers the get, he has to do so in front of an audience of, so it's either going to be two or three. And we spent yesterday and today going over how to understand that machlokus, whether it's two or three. But effectively, what everyone is saying is that it has to be in front of a beis din. And then it's now just a question of whether or not you can end up supplementing in order to make that beis din. Good. That was our first discussion. Our next discussion that we had this morning was regarding when you are there present for the writing of the get. So so you have to be there for what? So we saw a range of positions, starting with you have to be there for the writing of every single letter, in the room witnessing the writing of every letter. And then we moved all the way to the other side where you don't even have to be in the same room. You can be in a room adjacent, hearing the writing of the letter, and that would be sufficient. And there are positions in the middle as well. Okay. We continue in the Gemara. We are now on Vav Amud Aleph, a third of the way down, even less, a quarter of the way down. Itmar, Bavel, Rav Amar Keret Yisrael, Legitin, Shmuel Amar, Kechutzaris. Okay, the community of Bavel. Meaning, up until this point in the Masechta, so basically what we did is we gave two categories. Either a get in Eretz Yisrael, or a get written outside of Eretz Yisrael, delivered into Eretz Yisrael. Okay? It was really that simple. We looked at the world in either one of those two categories. And so now what we're going to be discussing today, for a good part of today's daf, is a carve out in this structure, in this schema, and that is that Bavel exception. It's an exclusion. You know what we're going to do? We're going to treat Bavel like Eretz Yisrael, where when you deliver a get in Bavel, or as we're going to see in just a moment, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, which is clearly going from outside Eretz Yisrael to inside Eretz Yisrael, so you don't have to say Befana Nechta, Befana Nechta. Okay. Now, what I just said is subject to a machlokus. We just saw it together in the Gemara. Rav says that's true. What I just said is correct. And Shmuel says no. Shmuel says Bavel is Chutz Aretz, both geographically and halachically. Bavel is Chutz Aretz. Okay. So we have a machlokus whether or not Bavel serves as an exclusion. And the Gemara now wants to try to understand. So lema ba kemiflugi mar sevelafi shein bikim l'shma v'hani gemirei. So maybe what we could do is that we could try to plug in our machlokas. Okay, we've been in a week on this machlokas. Beis, Dalet, Hey. I skipped Gimel, didn't I? Sure. Let's try that again. Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. And now today's Daf Vav. That's five dapim of the machlokas of Rabba and Rava. And the Gemara says maybe that's exactly what they're arguing about. Meaning that if you're Rabba and you're in the whole concern, is that the get was not written Lishma in Bavel. You have yeshivas in Bavel, right? Our Mesorah, right? What we spend every day doing is going over the Mesorah, the Torah Shabbat Peh, that was learned in Bavel. So in Bavel, you don't think they know about Lishma? Of course they know about Lishma. So the position of Rav that you don't require Befana Nechtam, he's really concerned about Lishma. And in Bavel, not a concern. Therefore, you don't need to say it. And Shmuel, on the other hand, will say no. That the whole reason of Befana Nechtam is making sure that you have Kiyam Hashtar, notarizing the signatures. And when you're delivering a get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, that's a long distance. That's a travel. It's a schlep, as they would say in Bavel. I'm sure they said that in Bavel. So that's a real schlep. So of course you would need to say Befana Nechtam when delivering a get from Bavel to Chutz Aretz. The Gemara says that isn't that the machlokus? The Gemara says of course that's not the machlokus. The Tizbara, the Gemara says it's Nava, Rabbi Yisrael de Rava, because remember our big breakthrough on Daf Dalet, and that is that Rava really also holds a Rava. Meaning for Rava it's a twofold concern. It's not just Lishma, it's also Kiyam Hashtar. So, the truth of the matter is that everyone's worried about notarizing the signatures. And Rav Savar came to Ikam Misifta, Mishkash Shrichi, Ushmol Savar Misifta Begir Sayatri Day. And the Gemara says like this, you know, you always have people shuttling back and forth between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, because you're living in Eretz Yisrael, and I know this sounds strange, but you now want to learn. So where do you go when you lived at that Tkufa? You go to Bavel, meaning the main yeshivas over there back in the day, was Bavel. So people would be traveling back and forth between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael all the time. And so therefore, what are you worried about? You're worried about we're not going to have anyone who's going to be able to notarize the signatures? We'll have it. People shuttling back and forth. So since there's constant traffic between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, Rav will tell you, no need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. On the other hand, Shmuel will tell you, how are we going to be mekayim the shar? Through yeshiva students? Yeshiva students are not picking their head up from the Gemara. In other words, they're so engrossed and involved in the study of Torah that what are they doing? They're getting involved in documents and signatures and they don't know. Their business is not business. They're not worried about people signing. They're not focusing on people signing. You can't count on them to be mekayim the shtar. Okay? The Gemara says that's the machlokas. The Gemara quotes Bashem Rav Huna that, you know, in Bavel, we're going to treat ourselves like Eretz Yisrael. Notably, we're not saying b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. You're delivering the get in Bavel. You're delivering the get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. We don't say it anymore. And at what point historically do we basically take on the status of Eretz Yisrael when Rav came to Bavel? Fascinating Rashi over here. Rashi says, do you know they had yeshivas in Bavel from what point in time? I'll tell you when. From Gullus Bavel. Right? Upon destruction of Bais Rishon. So already from that point in time, so they had yeshivas in Bavel. No. Now Rav comes to Bavel how many years later? Right? Minimum 500 years later. Minimum. Right? We're talking about the entirety of Bais Sheni. Right? And the destruction of Bais Sheni. And then even 100 years after that. Okay? So probably closer to 600 years. And how long did Bais Sheni exist? Right? You've heard me talk about this before. We have two different Masorahs. We have our Masorah that lasted for 420 years and the secular Masorah that lasted well beyond 420 years. Okay. A topic in of itself. Anyway, so there was the yeshiva in Bavel before Rav for hundreds and hundreds of years. We could just say it like that. And what Rav Huna is telling us is, I know, and this is again, everything I'm doing right now is paraphrasing Rashi. So I know, but when Rav came into Bavel, that's when the real learning took place in Bavel, right? We have a number of Gemaras that describe Rav's entrance into Bavel. Right, Rav, who was a student of Rebbe, and nephew to Rebbe Chia, obviously started his life in Eretz Yisrael for reasons that are not totally clear, but left Eretz Yisrael and moved to Bavel. Okay, and he started yeshiva. His yeshiva that he started was in Sura. Right, Shmuel's yeshiva was in Narda, the town of Narda. Right, so Rashi writes over here that when Rav came into Bavel, so then and only then. Do you really have serious learning and serious yeshiva occurring in Bavel? And it's at that point going forward that Bavel now takes on the status of Eretz Yisrael. Good. So the, right? Yeah. So Moshe Rav Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, may rekam the Mizrach, rekam ke Mizrach, may Ashkelon darom, v'Ashkelon kidarom, and may Akol Tzafon, v'Akol kitzafon. So the Gemara says, okay, just can I remind everybody what we learned back in the Mishnah? Meaning in the Mishnah, we went over the borders of Eretz Yisrael, north, east, and south. West, obviously, you have that big ocean. So we already went over the borders. And the most northern of the borders was Zako. And where does Bavel exist? Well beyond that. Okay, now I know it's funny, by the way, the Gemara always describes Bavel as being to the north of Israel. Right? Open up a map, and what are you going to see? It's not exactly north, right? It's more east than north. Okay. Again, something to consider, something to think about in terms of why the Gemara is insistent that geographically Bavel's north of Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, it's, and Bavel is more north than Akko. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that? The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So interesting, by the way, the Gemara says, how do I know that? Look at a map. The Gemara says, don't bother with the map. Look at a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, right? It says, "Vayomer Hashem Elai Mitzafon Tipatach Ra'a." Tanan Rabbi Meir Omer Akko Keretz Yisrael Gittin VaAfilu Rabbi Meir Lo Kamer LaBakko DeMikrav VaBavo DeMechar Kelam. Look, Akko itself subject to a debate whether or not included excluded in the border of Eretz Yisrael, but who cares? Meaning, Bavel is so far removed from that. How in the world can anyone even entertain the idea that vis-a-vis Gittin, Bavel is going to have the status of Eretz Yisrael? Meaning, just look at the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, look at the map, it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. So, So the Gemara gives a really simple answer, meaning we knew the answer all along. The Gemara is just simply articulating, and that is that it's called an exception, right? You know how this works? There are rules and there are exceptions. So the Mishnah is telling us a rule. The rule is that when do I not need to say Befana Nechtav in Israel? Outside of Israel, I do need to say Befana Nechtav. That's the rule. And you know what we also have? We have exceptions. That's how it works. There are rules and there are exceptions. This is just simply but an exception. Adhechani Bavel. Okay, now what exactly are going to be the parameters of Bavel for this halacha? So the Gemara helps us out. Now I say, and I'm going to tell you the Gemara is going to help us out. So we have general ideas of where Bavel is located, meaning it's Bavel is running along the rivers of the Tigris and the Euphrates. The Gemara now is going to give us details. If we live back in the 3rd century, 4th century, in Iraq and Afghanistan, all this would mean a lot to us. Right now, all this is not going to mean that much to us because what do we know? But anyway, Fallujah, by the way, modern-day Fallujah, that's one of the yeshivas, the old yeshivas that's being discussed. I think, this part, by the way, I wouldn't mind being fact-checked and being corrected if I'm wrong, I think Fallujah was the yeshiva of Pumbedisa. Either way. So, Ad Hechni Bavo, so I'm Rav Papa, Kemachlokus Liuchzin, Kach Machlokus Agitin. So according to Rav Papa, here's what you're going to do. Open up the 4th parak of Kedushin, learn the sugya of Yichus. Okay, well, obviously we're not going to do that right now. But in other words, if you live within a certain parameter, you have a good Yichus. If you live outside of that, questionable Yichus. Okay? Right? By the way, totally understandable. Meaning, I'm sure everyone here knows I went to Central America recently. Okay? And there are Jews over there in Central America. What's their Yichus? What a great question. I'm not ready to answer that. In other words, us Southerners, we understand, meaning it's a Wild West over there. In other words, well, what do we know from their Yichus? So, in other words, good. I'll let people who know a lot more than me handle that question. I'm not handling that question. But you understand, however, it's a question, right? People who have Yichus that goes back generations and generations and can trace their Yichus going back, so their Yichus is much better. So, what the Gemara is telling us is that in the 4th parak of Kedushin, it goes over. That if you live within a certain block radius, again, the Gemara in Kedushin goes over this in detail, a certain block radius within Bavel, so you have a good Yichus. So, what the Gemara now, where Papa's doing is that basically, take that sugya in Kedushin, same thing over here. What's Bavel for the halachas of Gittin? When do I not need to say Befana Nechtam, Befana Nechtam? Whatever is the perimeter for Yichus is also going to be the perimeter also for here as well by Gittin. And Rav Yosef Amar Machlokas Yichsin. Aval Gittin, so Divrei Hakol Ad Arba Tanina Degishra. So according to Rav Yosef, now the Machlokas regarding Yichus, that's a Machlokas, but not related to our discussion over here. Over here, what's Bavel for the Halachas of Gittin? You know, the second bridge by the second bridge down the river. Okay, second bridge down the river. Does that help anyone here in the room? Of course not. In other words, we know. In other words, first of all, I don't even know which river we're talking about. It's either going to be the Tigris or it's going to be the Euphrates. Regardless, however, back then they knew their markers. This is now the Jewish community. Back in the day, wasn't Bavel, and so when he was describing the second bridge, everybody knew what he was talking about. You and I don't know, but anyway, Rav Chista Matzrich Me'aktis Fon. Let's try that again. So Rav Chista Matzrich. So Rav Chista required the formulation Befanenechtam May Aktis Phone Lebe Ardishir. So when traveling from Aktis Phone, which is some town along the river, right? Again, we're now somewhere within Bavel. And he's describing this as just outside of Bavel. And if you're going from there to Be'ar Dishar, so Rav Chista said, you need to say Befana Nechta, Befana Nechta. However, Mi Be'ar Dishir Laktis Fon, Lo Matzrich. By going in the other direction, you don't need to say it. Okay? it demands a question. Why? So maybe he's subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbah, of this is all concerned with Lishma. One community knows about Lishma, the other community does not know about Lishma. So Vitizbra, the Gemara says again, no. Vaha Rabbah Yisle de Rava. Because remember, as we already concluded, Rabbah has two concerns. One is Lishma, and the other one is Kiyam Hashtar. So Allah Dekul Yama Bina Lekaima Vahani Kemed Azul Lishukal Hasam. Look, there was a big market in Akti's phone, and everybody would go to Akti's phone, both the locals and the outsiders. And the Kevin Azul Lishukal Hasam. So Hanach, Yade Bechasimus Yade Dahane. So what would be happening is now all people Akti's phone would know the players. Meaning that if you're a local, everybody knows your signature, you know everyone else's signature. And even the neighboring city of Be'ar Dishir, who come here into Akti's phone, so they know signatures as well. Meaning the locals know their signatures as well. However, the members of the city of Be'ar Dishir, they don't know the signatures of Akti's phone. In other words, yes, it's true, they come in order to buy and sell. But again, they're so involved in the shuk that they're not paying attention to other people's signatures. So therefore, the recognition of signatures only works one directionally and not bidirectionally. Okay. Rav Baravu Amatzrich me arsa la arsa. So Rabbi Baravur required the formulation of Bafanei Nechtam, even when I'm going from one side of the street to the other side of the street. Rav Sheshes Matzrich Mishchuna L'Shchuna, when going from one community to another. So he would require it. Rav Matzrich Ba'osa Shchuna, Rav would require it even when delivering the get within the same community. They're all talking about Bava. Rav Hudam L'Fishein Edim Asil L'Kaimo, so Shani B'nei M'chuza Denaydi. So the reason why Rava required it, even though we're talking about the same community, and if it's a single community, everyone knows everyone else's signature. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know, but in B'nai B'chuz, it's such a transient community that you don't have people there that have been living there for years and years. Okay. Yeah, I could breathe for just a moment. Yeah, just for a moment, I'm allowed to breathe. Okay, and so therefore, a lengthy discussion, as promised, and we just went through it, in the Gemara regarding whether or not the formulation of Bafanei Nechtam needs to be said in Bavel, right? Our starting point was funny. We said that Bavel now is an exclusion. You don't need to say it. And then, right, where do we just end up in the sugya? A host of Amoraim who say, you know, yeah, you really do need to say it. Even when delivering within the same community in Bavel, you need to say it. And even in the same town, and even if you're just crossing the street, you need to say it. Right? Rabbeinu Tam at the very bottom of our daf. So he writes, you know what? We say it all the time, right? Mikan posik Rabbeinu Tam. I'm looking at that last tosfos. So Mikan posik Rabbeinu Tam. The hashab bezman hazet sarach lomar bechol makom b'fanei nechtav. Afagav dekaima lan kareva. Dama lefisha ein edim etzim lekaima v'lo mishum l'shma. Mikom makom sarach. The hashab bechol makom os naidik v'nei b'chuzda. Or the Rabbeinu Tam says, look, we're such a transient people and we're traveling all the time and who knows anyone else's signature. So you know what? Every time a get is being delivered, this is Rabbeinu Tam talking now, right? 12th century in Europe. So every time a get is being delivered, because of the transience of our communities, you always have to say Bafanei Nechtav. As per the Gemara's conclusion in Mechuzah. Rabbeinu Tam says we're all like Mechuzah. Okay. We're in Vav Amud Aleph. We're towards the very bottom of the Amud. Okay. Rav Chanan Mishtai. Rav Chanan will tell the following story. Rav Chanan Isagita. Rav Chanan was in the process of delivering a get. Now, there's one detail that I don't have totally clear. Meaning, I know the get was being shuttled between the cities of Sur and Arda. I don't know which direction. Okay. In other words, when telling over a story, you should tell over the story as accurately as you know it. And over here, he's just admitting, I don't have every detail perfect. But, okay, I got most of the story down. Also, Kamei D'Rav, Amar Leit Tzrichina. And so now, as this get is being shuttled, right, in Bavel, between two different towns of Bavel, so now I go to Rav and I ask Rav a very simple question. Do we need to say Bafanei Nechtam? Okay? At this point in the Gemara, So if you were to ask me the question, no one's going to ask me the question. I'm not a posek. But if you were to ask me the question, I'd be understandably totally confused. Meaning we start off by saying you don't have to say it, and then we just got done saying you do have to say it. So if you asked me, I'd be confused. I wouldn't know what to say. So Amar Leilo Tzurchisa. So Rav's answer is, no, you don't need to say it. Meaning we're in Bavel. Remember, Bavel's an exclusion. You don't need to say it. V'avadit ahanis. But Rav says, but I'll tell you what. You don't need to say it. But you know what? If you say it, it helps. To which the Gemara says, what? Well, if I don't need to say it, so why are you saying it's going to help? And help me from what? Ma'yavadit ahanis di'asei habal ma'arer lo mishkachinan bei. So I'll tell you how it's going to help. It's going to help because because what's going to end up happening is the following, or what could happen is that at a subsequent point in time, you're going to have a challenge by the husband. In other words, the husband's going to come back and he's going to challenge you and he's going to say, I don't know what you guys are talking about. It was a forgery, whatever challenges he's going to make. When you say b'fanenechtam, so now you're serving as testimony that the get was not only written correctly, signed correctly, you're notarizing the signatures. You are providing the assurance and insurance that this get is a good get. And now it is a protected document. It is a sealed document. At that point in time, any challenges issued by the husband is going to be disregarded. So what Rav is saying is the following. The halacha is that when delivering a get in Bavel, you don't have to say b'fanenechtam. However, I will say this. If you say it, you will give the proper protection now for this document, making it impervious to the challenges of the husband. Okay. Kid detanya. And the Gemara says, by the way, this is also being recorded in a braisa as well. A question was posed to Rabbi Shmuel. Amrlo bni meichanata. Where's the get coming from? Amrlo Rabbi mikfar Sisai ani. I come from the town of Sisai. Amrlo sarachat alamer b'fanenechta b'fanenechtam shaloti zakek leidim. So he says, you know what? Say b'fanenechta b'fanenechtam because then you're not going to need Edom after that point in time. So afterwards, Rabbi Eli comes. Amrlo Rebbe, v'alok far sisai muvlas betchom Eretz Yisrael, ukrov l'tzipor yoser me'ako. And Rabbi Eli is trying to understand his Rebbe, Rabbi Yishmael. You told him you have to say b'fanenechtam. I don't understand that delivery of that get was intra Eretz Yisrael. This town of Sisai is in Israel. And the Gemara says really interior. And Tanan Rabbi Meir Omer Ako Keretz Yisrael Again Vafila Rabbanu La Pliga Alad Rabbi Meir Ala Bako De Merchaka Avak Farsi Said De Mekarvelo. Meaning I know Ako's on the border and halachically debated whether it's in or outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, great. That's Ako. This town of Sisai, it's more interior. Meaning I don't understand why you're saying you have to say b'fanenechta. So Amrlo. So Rabbi Shmuel's answer is very simple. Shasok bini shasok. So first of all, he tells Rabbi Eli, "Could you stop arguing with me?" In other words, I paskind. I'm good. Leave me alone. Be quiet. And hol v'yatzah adavar beheter yatzah. Look, I'm right. In other words, the get was done beheter. It's a good get. Now just leave it alone. And so ayu namikir shalot yizakik leidim kamarle. And what Rabbi Shmuel's intention was is that you don't need to say b'fanenechtam, but not only can it not hurt, it's only going to help you. You say b'fanenechtam, you're now providing the necessary kiyum hashtar. You're notarizing the signatures in doing so. So Rabbi Shmuel is basically saying it's not necessary, but it's really helpful. And lo sai mekameh. And when Rabbi Eli was challenging Rabbi Shmuel, he didn't let Rabbi Shmuel finish his sentence. Meaning Rabbi Shmuel was about to explain that to Rabbi Simai, to Rabbi Eli, but Rabbi Eli was just, you know, he got too excited. And he was challenging way too quickly. And Rabbi Shmuel was saying to him, could you be quiet? Let me explain this to you. You don't need to say when you're delivering an Eretz Yisrael, but it definitely helps. So the gittin that are delivered from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So you don't need to say the formula. So leima kasav lefishein became lishma v'hani gemiri. So maybe this is an issue of lishma. Everyone here knows what the Gemara is going to say next. V'tizbrava rabba isle de rabba. No. Because again, even if I'm in the lishma camp of rabba, rabba also is worried about kiyum hashtar as well. Well, because there's so many travelers traveling back and forth between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, so therefore people recognize each other's signatures. Let's do a little bit more this morning. Oh, I see the time. Okay, music's going to start in just moments. Amrav Yosef man leimalan de Rabbi Avyasa bar Samchahu. Okay, now we just quoted in the name of Rav Avyasar that you don't need to say b'fanenechtam when delivering a get from outside of, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So, can I really rely on Rav Avyasar? And also, can I tell you a story about Rav Avyasar? Okay. Chafetz Chaim, right, in a sefer about Lashon Hara, so he cites numerous Gemaras that where they seem to be saying Lashon Hara about one Amara about another Amara. This is the example. I didn't look it up, by the way, but if I had a guess, I shouldn't be guessing, I should look it up. But if I had a guess, the Chafetz Chaim probably is going to be quoting our Gemara right over here, because Rabbi, the Gemara now is going to tell a story about Rav Avyasar. We're obviously going to read the story because it's now part and parcel of the Gemara, but it does sound a little bit like, hey, can I tell you something about him? So the Deshalach Leila Rav Yehuda, B'nei Adam Ha'olam Mishon Lakan. So Hain Kaima Batzman V'yinu Ayala B'zona V'yaldam Achru B'yayim V'yishto. So, Rav Avyasar sent a letter of Tochacha to Rav Yehuda, reprimanding and saying, you know, what a lot of the B'nai Bavel do is that when they go, when first they get married and then they go to yeshiva. Where do they go to yeshiva after they get married? They go to Eretz Yisrael. And so what do? So they say goodbye to their wives, right? I'm really sorry, but I got to go. I got to learn yeshiva. I know we just got married, but no, I got to go learn. So I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, okay, good. What? Rav Avyasar says, that's crazy. Well, like, what's wrong with you people? Right? He now sending a letter of reprimand to the B'nai Bavel. Like, are you out of your minds? You just got married and then you leave your wives? And he quotes the pasuk from Yoel. Right? You're basically leaving your wives to be zonas. Right? In other words, married and you're going to go away. So, because of below sirta. Now, so far, Rav Avyasar seems to be doing a good thing, meaning he's giving tochacha, meaning that's not how newlyweds should conduct themselves. Meanwhile, however, when Rav Avyasar sent that letter of tochacha to the B'nai Bavel, so he cited the pasuk in Yoel, and you know what he didn't do? He didn't score that pasuk that he cited. He wrote a pasuk, and he didn't score it. He didn't write a line underneath. And everybody knows that you have to write a line underneath when you're citing a pasuk. So, because of lebelo sirtut. So I'm Rav Yitzchak Shtaim Kotsvin, Shalosh Ein Kotsvin, of Mesisa Tana, Shalosh Kotsvin, Arba Ein Kotsvin. Now it happens to be a machlokas, how many words you have to write in order to require the sirtut. Does it have to be two? Does it have to be three? Okay, but anyway. So but he wrote a whole pasuk and he didn't write a line underneath. He didn't score it. Okay. So Amalei Abaye Atu Kol Delo Yada. Atu Kol Delo Yadu Ha. So the Rav Yitzchak Lav Gav Rabahu. Bishlam Milsa Detali Besvara. So Hagamari He Ugamar Lo Shmielei. So the Oda Rabbi Avyasar who De Askim Mare Al Yadei. So to which the Gemara says a couple of things. Gemara says number one, Rabbi Avyasar was an Adam Gadol. He didn't know the halacha about Sirtut. That's not a fair criticism. If let's say it's a point of reason and rationale, meaning if I'm trying to give a svara, and the svara that I'm giving is a terrible svara, so you could say, okay, look, he's not the greatest Talmid Chacham. Okay. Again, you and I don't know if we're in any position to judge anybody, but if somebody does not know how to put together a good svara, so you could say he's not an Adam Gadol. But over here I get to say this because the Gemara just said it, but otherwise I wouldn't be able to say this. But on an obscure halacha that has nothing to do with svara, it just happens to be either you know it or you don't know it. Okay, when you write a pasuk and you got a score underneath, that's not a svara. It just happens to be a halacha that some people know, some people don't know. And this Rav Avyasar didn't happen to know that halacha. You can't take any credit away from him. Okay, yes, he should know every halacha. But just because you don't know a particular halacha does not detract from you being an Adam Gadol. That's point number one. And point number two, says the Gemara, you know Rav Avyasar? You know who agrees with Rav Yasar? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Which now brings us to one of the most exciting Gemaras. But I'm teasing it because we're going to go. So we're going to stop over here. So in other words, we're going to see in the beginning of tomorrow's daf, really today's daf, but we're going to see in the beginning of tomorrow how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is learning. This is coming up tomorrow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is learning, and he's going to agree with Rav Avyasar. So don't take anything away from Rav Avyasar. He was an Adam Gadol by every sense of the word Adam Gadol. Okay, we'll stop over here.